As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Word of the Lord. Well, in the two sessions that I've done with you before, we looked at the Lord's Prayer and we saw how that was a pattern for prayer. But we also heard that prayer requires an honesty. It requires a simplicity. It requires a regularity. It requires thankfulness. And it requires awareness. That motto of when do we pray? Well, anything, anytime, anywhere. If you remember that, there isn't a time or a place for it. It's anything, anytime, anywhere. But you know, the Bible never leaves us in any doubt about the power of prayer. It never leaves us any doubt about what we're connected to when we pray. Let me read again to you what James says. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that they may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Wow. Bible leaves us in no doubt about the power of prayer and what we're connected to when we pray. But have I ever had those sort of thoughts? Why is God not answering my prayers? Why when I pray, I feel as though he's not listening? Why does God sometimes appear to be silent? You know, have I ever thought, I really have an important decision to make. But when I ask God for guidance, he seemed to be nowhere to be found. Have you had that thought? Have you ever thought, I'm really not feeling very well. I'm actually quite ill at the moment. And I asked God's help, but things only seemed to get worse. Experienced that? I wonder where God is in all of what's happening in my life. I plead with him to reveal himself to me, but nothing happens. I get no response. I don't even know where God exists sometimes. Ever experienced all of that? Well, they are quite legitimate questions to ask. And you know, God wants us to ask those questions as well, of course. He wants us to ask those questions. And Psalm 42 is the starting point for consolation when we feel depressed about these things. It may be not a complete answer, but it's a starting point. You see, you're not alone in feeling God may be distant. God's people throughout the generations have at times in their lives felt that as well. You're not alone. And the Bible allows those doubts and those frustrations and even anger to be expressed. The Bible allows them, even encourages us to voice them. Why does God sometimes appear distant and silent? If you just look briefly through Psalms, you know, there's lots of areas in Psalms where Psalm 28:1, the psalmist says, this is directed to God, do not turn a deaf ear. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. If you do, I will disappear into the pit. Job 34:29, if he hides his face from me, who can see him? Don't hide your face. If you hide your face, nobody can see you. Job, expressing his heart to God. Habakkuk 1:13, why are you silent? Why are you tolerating all these things around us and within me? Why are you silent? And even Jesus himself says in Matthew 27:46, as he's facing death, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even God is expressing his frustration. Even Jesus is expressing his frustration. You see, the psalmist, and certainly the writer of Psalm 42, compared the experience of longing for a God who seemed to have stopped listening. He likened it to that of an emaciated deer dying from thirst in a parched land. That's how he felt like. An emaciated deer dying from thirst in a parched land because God appeared to be distant. As I said earlier, written at a time when the Jews were in exile and God appeared to be distant. They've been dragged off to exile. God had been left behind in the temple in Jerusalem, they thought. Not only being dragged off to exile, but they were being taunted by their captors. They didn't understand what we Christians understand, that God is to be everywhere, not just in a building, not just in a place, but God can be everywhere. Anywhere in the world, not just Jerusalem. You know, it's not unusual for Christians to lament. And the Bible doesn't skirt around these issues. It meets them head on. Many people in the Bible are saying, why can't my faith be like it used to be? Why can't I always live on the mountaintop? Why have things got to be difficult? And why do you appear distant? The psalmist doesn't offer easy answers. And often their pleas end with as much toil, much a turmoil as it began. But in that verse, Psalm 42 that Tom read, there is that trickle, a trickle of assurance that God is still God and he's still there. You see, despite the psalmist, the author of that psalm, it didn't stop him writing the psalm. He didn't give up on everything. There was a trickle of assurance that if I stick with it, my God will come through. My God will eventually be victorious in my life. Maybe you feel this morning that things are very difficult for you, either individually or corporately or as a church. Maybe there's a sense of despair. Hold on to that trickle of assurance that God has a purpose and he will work his purposes through. There's a sense in Scripture where it says when God is silent, defy the silence. Defy it. Defy it. One of the things that I found challenging in Job, and I always find it challenging in Job when I read it again, where Job says, even though you kill me, I will believe. Well, I'm not sure I'm in that place where I can say that with full confidence, but I understand what Job's trying to say. Even though you kill me, I will have hope in you. That's where our hope is. I will have hope in you. The psalmists are being honest about where they're at. They've been honest with God. Even if that means anger, frustration, bewilderment. But even in the darkness of that time, the psalmist, there's little glimmers, little glimpses of God. Even in that barren exile that they experienced, little glimmers of God. He remembers a time when his prayers were answered. He remembers. He remembers that what God has done before, he can do again in his time. He remembers that. And we need to remember that too in the midst of our own depressing times perhaps. But as we look at this whole issue of what God's been silent, we can ask ourselves some questions and hope to get some answers and understand a bit more. Is God silent because our expectations of how he speaks is limited? Do we expect God to only speak in a certain way or only through certain people? Because if we do, then we're limiting God in how he can communicate with us. You know that story of Samuel, the time when Israel was being ruled by judges. There was God was hardly ever heard during that time. How did God speak to them at that time? He didn't speak through Eli, the high priest. He spoke to his servant, a little boy, Samuel. Remember the story? He spoke to Samuel. He spoke to a little boy. You see, perhaps God's voice will be clear to us when we recognize it in someone else or in some other way. In some other way. God's not limited in how he speaks. I don't know, I had quite a revelation this week. I was watching a short drama series on television. I don't know if you're watching it. It was called Crossfire. Anybody see Crossfire this week? Well, it was about a group of people who went on holiday to wherever it was, a group of different families. They went on holiday, and it was a beautiful resort, but during that time it was overrun by a terrorist group. And a lot of people were killed and shot. You know, you've read about it in reality and in the past. And anyway, cutting a long story short, one of the ladies who was there became something of a hero in that she challenged these two terrorists. And at the end of it all, she's hailed as a hero. She's hailed as a hero. She gets all the accolades, etc., etc. And she then went on to talk about how she was not really a hero, because all the people, all the group that they went with, they all started reflecting on their lives up to that point, and what they thought was important and what wasn't important. And this tragic event had put a whole new perspective on life for them all. And this lady said, "I'm not a hero." She said, "The heroes are the ordinary men and women who move through each day with all its trials and tribulations and its events each day, and work through it and wake up the next morning and start again." She said, "Those are the heroes, not me." And I thought, what a truth in that. What a truth in that. If anybody's struggling about how, my life's a bit meaningless, and it's not very colourful, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't seem to be productive, and I'm quite depressed about it, well, to hear that you're a hero, just moving through each day, dealing with life, is that God speaking? God speaking? It certainly challenged me. It challenged me to be less depressive about some things, because, well, she says, "I'm a hero. I'm a hero because I just move through each day. I move through each day and I deal with stuff as it comes. And I get up the next morning and I do the same again." That's a hero. It was God speaking in those words. We need to expect God to speak in unexpected ways. Not just in the ways that, well, he's going to speak through the Bible. He's going to speak in some dramatic way. Well, let me leave that one there and let you think about that. Another question. Are we deaf to God's words? God's word, particularly for the present moment, because we're too busy looking for future plans. We're so busy thinking about the future that we don't hear of for today. And there's nothing more important than today. Because Jesus says, "Don't be anxious for tomorrow, but seek God's kingdom today." Are we all too caught up in what the future is? Which is silly, really, because none of us are guaranteed a future. We don't know. Nothing God will say in the future could possibly be as important for this moment as what he wants to say at this moment. Here in this church this morning, sitting in your seats, and maybe you're hard pressed by all around you, what is God saying to you? What is he saying to you today? Let the future look after itself. Eventually the future becomes today. And then you can deal with that then. Further question. Is God silent because our duty is already clear? Our duty is already clear. Have you sort of felt at times, "I don't know what God wants of me. I really don't like uncertainty." You know, sometimes we do not need to be told by God because his expectations of us are unchanging. We already know the answers. We know the answers about our relationships. We know God's answers about forgiveness, about repairing things, putting things right. We don't need a new revelation for that. We know. We don't need a new revelation about giving our lives to him. We know. We know what God says about morality. We know. However hard we pray on those issues, God's not going to change his ruling on that. We already know the answer. God not speaking. Is he silent because he's waiting for us to speak? You know, sometimes we only reveal the true nature of ourselves when we're desperate. True nature of ourselves when he is silent. Only the silence can bring out the true us, the full desperation. I think I've told you before, I spent quite a bit of time in South Korea. And in the since the Korean War in the 50s, there's been a massive revival in Korea. Nine of the 10 largest churches in the world are in South Korea. And as I've spoke to Korean pastors when I visited them, I said, why has God granted you revival? What's the key element to revival here? And all of them said the same thing. They said, after the Korean War, we were left with nothing. Seoul, the capital, which is a thriving, modern place, was reduced to tree stumps. They said, as a people, we learned how to cry in prayer. We had nothing else. We learned how to cry in prayer. Not just pray, cry in prayer. And God heard our cries. They have another problem now, which I mentioned briefly. The problem is now the modern generation have everything. They're very affluent. And their concern now is that they've lost the ability to cry because they have everything. And they're worried about the future of the church now. But sometimes God appears silent because he wants to understand our true nature. He wants to understand who we really are and to present that to him. God remains silent so that men and women can speak and protest and be true before him. God remains silent so that people can become really people. Really people. When God is silent and men and women cry, God cries with them. God waits for shouts of protest. Then the Almighty begins to speak again. But this time in dialogue with us, rather than just issuing instructions, in dialogue. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to realize that we can be in dialogue with God, creator of all things. And the final question is there no response from God because he's working on something bigger in our lives? Silent because on an issue is because he's working on something bigger in our lives. You know the story of Jacob when he fled from his murderous brother. Jacob was alone and desperate. Found himself in the desert with only a stone for a pillow. And his hope was just have a good night's sleep. That was his prayer. Good night's sleep. He didn't know, however, that the place where he found himself was Bethel, the gateway to the house of God. He didn't know that. And in that place, the vision of God that broke through gave him an insight into God more real than anything he'd ever had in his youth. God broke through. God had been working on something bigger than his fear and his desperation and his loneliness. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was in this place, but I was not aware of it. So is God working on something bigger than what your prayers are? And that might be why your prayers are not being answered. I want to pray that in the goodness of God, may that be your experiences this day. May that be your experiences this coming week. You know, I struggled how I could actually conclude this sermon. How could I end it? Because there seems to be so many loose ends. But then I thought, I had a feeling that, well, none of us are ever going to get to the end of who God is and his purposes. We're never going to understand everything. We only take what he gives us at this stage. God's always going to be a mystery. Now that can be frustrating, but it's also illuminating and it's encouraging, because it means that tomorrow there can be a new revelation, and the next day there can be another revelation. How awful it would be if you knew everything. Why bother getting up tomorrow? God's always going to be a mystery. And who knows the depth of his love and his plans? The best I can say is with God, expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. He loves you, and he wants the very best for you. And he's not offended when we shout at him. And he's not offended when we're angry with him. Because that probably reflects the true nature of where we're at that time. And that's an honesty which God rewards. Hallelujah. That's an honesty which God rewards. Let us pray. Father, thank you for prayer. Forgive us when we get frustrated because things don't seem to be going the way that we want them to. But you have a bigger plan. And help us to seek that plan. Help us to plumb into that plan. Help us to be a people who look forward to tomorrow, because you have a new revelation for us tomorrow, Lord. Father, again, bless this church, Lord. Give it hope and optimism, Lord, for tomorrow. And bless us as we go through the rest of this week. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing.